Hi, this is Jay Washburn.
And I'm Joe Bendosky.
And you're listening to Start Writing.
And this is our grammar and poetry episode. And so today we're going to be talking about split infinitive. And if I remember correctly, this is the single most polarizing dynamic in English grammar. So what we'll talk about here is, as always, we'll look at the rule, why it is, what it is, and then we'll look at how writers have broken it and what they achieved in so doing. First, we don't have anything in This Week in Critiques. I haven't gotten around to critiquing anything recently, or at least anything that I've just been reading off the cuff. I haven't had any really harsh comments on it. Jay has got something for you.
So I told you I've been on a Michael Crichton kick. And I read this a few weeks ago, so it's already a little vague. So I'm at the end of The Lost World, right? It's the sequel to Jurassic Park. And the heroine, I can't remember her name, is like, she hides underneath a vehicle from the T-Rex at the very end, right? And the bad guy crawls under there with her. Like, he's terrified. And, like, but by the way, I'm about to spoil the ending. You should have read this decades ago. So he crawls under there with her. And, like, you want the Jurassic Park to end with the dinosaur eating the bad guy, right? He's kind of the hero in a way, well, like thematically, but the hero is really the person who's underneath the truck, right? And so, like, in fact, that's one thing I don't love about the Jurassic Park movie. You remember at the end, they're like getting pinned down by the raptors,
right?
And the T-Rex just barges in and eats them, right? So that's totally Deus Ex Machina, right?
Totally is.
She's underneath the Jeep with the bad guy, and the T-Rex is out there like sniffing. And she shoves him out. So you're able to have the T-Rex come in
and eat him.
But it's still the protagonist's
choice, her decision.
Yes, yeah. And I loved it. I was like, this satisfies both of those really well. Anyway, yeah. I thought it was a really
good movie. That was brilliant. That is definitely a brilliant move. Because, yeah, you want the dinosaur to do it because it's just part of the whole genre.
Yeah.
But you know that if you do that, it's Deus Ex Machina. And so he creates this scene where her choice is still what drives it. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it worked really well.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. All right. Okay, so first we'll talk about what is a split infinitive, because I say it to enough people and like, huh? So an infinitive is where you have to and a verb. To run, to jump, to read, right? That's the infinitive, when you have the to followed by that verb. And splitting it is then if you take some kind of an adverbial and you insert it between the two of those. So the most popular and famous of all split infinitives is, of course, to boldly go where no man has gone before, right? Everybody's heard it, right?
It's a good one.
and we'll talk about why it's good. So that's the infinitive, and that's what it is to split the infinitive. So a brief history, as English evolved into Middle English, out of Old English, that is where it began to allow infinitives to be split without losing their meaning. And from there, we go on. So there's a very famous letter written in 1834 to the editor of the New England Magazine, where it makes this specific statement, used by uneducated writers. And this then becomes the reference for style guides for years to come, saying that it is ungrammatical to use in English. Now, for anyone who really knows grammar, and we've talked about this before, ungrammatical is not really a thing. You have formal, casual, preferred, and less preferred. Those are the actual categories of grammar. So ungrammatical is something your grammando friend will throw at you who doesn't actually understand grammar.
Now, I wish that we could poll our listeners and find out how many are in which camp. Like, which if camp? There are a lot of people strongly against this still.
So in 1966 is when we get the first style guide saying that you can use split infinitives in specific instances. And then in 1998, the Oxford Grammar Guide allows for the split infinitive informal grammar. That's the important part. Informal writing, you can split an infinitive. All right. So I'm going to try and do this with all our grammar points. And what we call these the arguments about English. And so these are the different arguments are why something should or shouldn't be a certain way in English. And then essentially I will try and go through and resolve each grammatical query and the reasons the writer breaks these rules based on this criteria. Okay. And the first is that language should be logical, like math, right? You have rules, you follow rules. That's how it works. And this is one that's thrown out a lot, like, in talking about double negatives, people will say, in math, if you multiply two negatives, you get a bigger, if you multiply two negatives, you get a positive, right? Mm-hmm. So two negatives cancel each other out, you get a positive. Well, what is also true in math is if you add two negatives together, you get a bigger negative. And then what happens if you minus two negatives, right? And so that multiplication, addition, or subtraction, that's context. And we have that in language too. Context will then determine how you understand the grammatical elements. And so we can then apply that to just about any argument in logic and in language. Context determines that. Just like the double negative, is it emphatic, making the bigger emphasis? Is it self-canceling like we saw in Pink Floyd? You know, there's a lot, or is it kind of a lessening? So again, if we look at context, that tells you how to read it in the same way that the addition subtraction tells you the context of how to deal with those two numbers in mathematics. They're flexible, both of them.
So you're saying that this point and the points that follow are reasons to justify using split infinitives.
Right.
Yeah.
So language is flexible just like math, and there are certain rules that kind of govern it. And we'll look at examples that look at these. And you're not going to really find these rules written in any style guide. They're so deep within the language. And I'll show you an example and be like, oh, I understand. That makes perfect sense. But unlikely any grammar book you pick up or style guide will explain this. It's deeply contextual. So we'll go on. So language should be how it was and shouldn't change, right? This is the next argument. But if you look at words like spam, mouse, and decimate, you can see that these words have changed. Spam was initially a brand of canned meat.
Well, it was a brand.
Yeah, it was a specific brand. And I think they were the biggest one. So spam then became not only the reference to the brand, but the style, right? But now we use it to refer to stuff that comes in your email inbox. Spam, right? Language evolves and change, particularly as technology and science advances, a lot of times they will use known words for new things. Like, for example, there is a gene that helps determine how your fingers grow called Sonic Hedgehog.
That's awesome.
After the video game. Because the guy who discovered it wanted something people could remember. It was easy to, you know, it was easy to pick up, easy to remember and reference. And that was something he grew up in with, and so we named it Sonic Hedgehog.
So
now, here's the interesting thing. How many genes have you heard of, described, and they've got all kinds of weird numbers names? Guaranteed you, after today, you will never forget.
Got it.
Sonic Hedgehog helps form the digits.
It's genius.
Knew what he was doing, right? So language evolves. One of the big ones that is often debated is decimate. People say it's to reduce by a tenth. They said, but if you look up the word today in the dictionary, it has broader meanings. It's, you know, devastating and destruction. And that is derived not from the literal killing of 10% of a Roman legion, but the emotional impact it had on the survivors. The literal was, yeah, you killed 10% of them. The emotional impact was devastating because they were randomly selected because of something someone or all of them had done.
That was like a punishment. Say a legion or like a group of soldiers.
So it was a Roman legion. So you had 100 of them.
They so we're not going to whip all of you. We're going to kill 10% of you.
Yeah, they killed 10% of them. And so it was emotionally devastating to those who remained alive. And so that then becomes often the meaning reference, not the literal 10%, but that emotional devastation and destruction, which has then been expanded into a physical understanding.
Yeah.
And so the word has evolved. And so language changes and it evolves. And that's, you know, part of that is the need for new words to explain concepts. And part of that is as we try to create nuance, we push language in new ways. right? The next argument is language is defined by the great writers of it and reference what they have done. So this is a list of all these writers who have used split infinitives. Shakespeare, Robert Burns, John Donne, Stephen Crane, who wrote The Red Badge of Courage, Bram Stoker, Samuel Johnson, Samuel Coleridge, Emily Bronte, and on and on and on. It's a huge list. Like, in the notes, it's a bigger list than I went through now. And the actual list is even like 10 times that size. Great writers have split infinitives all the time because it works in English. Some people think that language should be like the language it comes from. And this is a lot of where this idea of split infinitives can't be done in English is that you can't split an infinitive in Latin. In Latin, the infinitive and the verb become one word, so it cannot be split. It's not something you can do.
It's just a single word, or it's two words fused together into...
It's like they fuse together, right? Like like German, like they fuse they fuse it all into one big word. So that's kind of how it was working in Latin. Yeah, and so the infinitive and the verb in Latin would fuse into one word, and so you couldn't split it, literally. You couldn't split it. Well, people were trying to apply these Latin rules to English because everyone who was educated wrote in Latin. It was the language of the world. It was the language of science, and it was the language of religion and politics. And so they were trying to apply these rules to the language. The thing is, French and Spanish and Italian root in Latin. English does not. And so trying to apply that rule really doesn't work at all in English. Latin rules don't work. And anytime someone has tried to apply them, they are proven wrong, and great writers, you know, do what they're going to do. So there is an interesting... So people will sometimes get stuck in their ways on grammar. There's a great moment. This is a great moment. So in the swearing in of Obama, the presidential oath has a split infinitive in it. And, you know, Obama has probably read this oath so many times in preparation for this moment, thinking about it, what it means, memorizing it. Like, he knows the oath as he goes up there. And the interesting thing is the Chief Justice Roberts, who is administering the oath, doesn't like split infinitives. You guarantee when he was a kid in grammar school, they pounded into his head, you can't split an infinitive. You can't. And so when he gets to the infinitive, he unsplits it. He puts the infinitive back together and moves the adverb.
So he's supposed to say, "I will faithfully execute."
No, instead, he's supposed to say, "I will faithfully execute." Yeah, that's what he's supposed to say. And he says, "I will execute faithfully." And Obama doesn't repeat it. He's like, pauses. And then Roberts realizes he has just changed the presidential oath, goes back and corrects it, and then repeats it. I have the clip. I'm going to try and extract the audio and put it right here so you can actually hear the moment. Yeah. As it plays out, because it's a great, great moment.
You should watch it, though. I looked it up because you put it in the notes.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's funny. Obama just kind of like gives him this look like, "Did you really?" and then they keep going. It's super funny.
Yeah, yeah. So it was is an interesting moment. So some other just interesting grammatical things that come up in the TV show The Last Man on Earth. Carol is one of those people who likes to correct other people's grammars, and she adheres very harshly to certain grammatical rules, which often leads to her not making very much sense. So one of the grammar rules that isn't really a rule in English, but a lot of people say, is you can't end a sentence in a preposition. And so you watch her do the weirdest things with her sentences, trying to avoid ending sentences with a preposition. So the first time it comes up, Phil says, "I promise you, there's nothing to be afraid of," to which Carol responds, "Nothing of which to be afraid." It sounds a little weird, but it still works, right? Because she is trying to make sure that preposition isn't at the end. But then things get crazy. And Phil says to her, "What do you need that gun out for?" Which, again, you have the preposition out there. And she says, "Don't you mean out for? What do you need that gun?" Right? At that point, her whole argument falls apart. There are certain, you can end a sentence with a preposition in English. And sometimes you should end a sentence with a preposition in English. Otherwise it gets messy.
Yeah, I'm trying to like reconstruct it. For what?
No, no, no. She's just his sentence.
Out what that you, gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so bad.
yeah, she does it often. She like it happens at least a few times a season. Well, she'll flip things around and whatnot. I'll try and pull a clip of her as well. I was looking before for some good ones. So going back to the split infinitive, so now we want to look at why would you want to split it? And the linguists have looked at what is it what is happening in Middle English where people started splitting infinitives and it became popular enough that it became a debate. And one of the things that linguists will look at is certain words are really short and some are longer. And so you can have a rhythm, short word, long word, long word, different things like this. And they say that to the human ear, the optimal rhythm is short, long, short. We call that weak, strong, weak. And it's got a rhythm to it. And so to go boldly is weak, weak, strong. But to boldly go, weak, strong, weak. And it's got that rhythm. Yeah. We like to it. And so their idea is that that's part of what it caught on is that when you could split the infinitive, you had more power to optimize language for that weak, strong, weak rhythm back and forth. Whereas if you couldn't split it, it was rigid and would often be forced into weak, weak creations with shorter verbs. And so
that's so interesting.
Yeah. And so we can even go back and look at this and be like, if we have a big verb, like condescend, right? So we have to condescend. Well, then if you have a shorter adverb, then you wouldn't want to split it in the weak, strong theory because condescend is the big, strong one. And then you put something weak on the end. So to condescend quietly as opposed to quietly condescend, right? And so you can even look at your own infinitives, whether they're split or unsplit, and be like, how am I? Can I manipulate this to a weak, strong rhythm to optimize that speech pattern? Another example is reattributing somebody else is saying. So if we have the kid, they say, "I accidentally forgot to feed the hamster." Parent says, "Well, you have to try harder not to accidentally forget, won't you?" Right, and so there's just kind of an echoing back. Using it there. Not something you'll see a lot. I think this is a really interesting one. This is from Robert Burns, his poem Scots. And he says, "Who dared to nobly stem tyrannic pride?" And the interesting thing is here is he split the infinitive to make sure that the descriptive word is properly associated with the proper verb. Because if we take out the split infinitive, we say, "Who dared to stem nobly tyrannic pride." Well, the nobly can now slide into the tyrannic pride, right? It can be misattributed there. And so he has intentionally split the infinitive for clarity purposes to make sure nobly is attached to the verb stem.
Okay, now you could say who nobly dared to stem tyrannic pride. Does that change the meaning?
I think that one would still work there too. So you could unsplit it that way.
Yeah.
So, but then again, maybe you're saying nobly is, I guess, attached to dared as opposed to stem. So you've still shifted its verb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, so that's a beautiful sentence. Who dared to nobly stem tyrannic pride.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
sweet.
So yeah, he split it because that was the only way to ensure that the verb got its adverb.
Yeah, it's good.
So yeah. So very good there. And so here's a series of sentences we're going to look at. And what happens is we're going to look, there's a split infinitive. And then when we de-split it, you have to ask your question, where do I put it now? Just like Travis tried to put nobly before dared, it changed it. And so watch the context of this, the meaning of this sentence change every time we try and split that infinitive by moving the adverbial. Okay, so here's the original sentence with the split infinitive. She decided to gradually get rid of the teddy bears she had collected. Okay, now you have to think about the meaning, right? Now, if we unsplit that infinitive, you have to ask yourself, where do we put gradually in the sentence without changing the meaning. And that's when things start to fall apart. So we'll experiment a few times
this
here.
This is cool.
So our first attempt of unsplitting the infinitive here is, she decided gradually to get rid of the teddy bears she had collected. This might imply that the decision was gradual as opposed to the process. So you've actually changed the meaning by breaking the infinitive that way. So we'll move it somewhere else. She decided to get rid of the teddy bears she had collected gradually. So this implies that the collecting process was gradual. So again, it changed the meaning. So she decided to get gradually rid of the teddy bears she had collected. So this just sounds a little awkward as it splits the idiom phrase, get rid of.
Yeah.
Right? Because we split the idiom when we de-split the infinitive. So that one retains meaning, but the problem is we've had to split
still
an idiom.
Splits.
And if we don't have an idiom that's that long in a verb, then you can't do it. It falls apart. So she decided to get rid gradually of the teddy bears she had collected. So this one is, again, it's just a little awkward to get rid gradually of. And again, we're splitting the idiom there. And then gradually, she decided to get rid of the teddy bears she had collected. This might imply that the decision or the fact that she will get rid of her teddy bears is gradual.
Yeah,
so again, same. With the exception of splitting the idiom, if we unsplit the infinitive, we change the meaning. And what that indicates is that there are certain sentences where you have to split the infinitive to communicate a specific meaning. And if you don't, you're going to be communicating something else.
Oh, that's cool stuff.
Yeah, it was super cool. Super cool stuff. So, all right. So we've looked at doing it for clarity in Robert Burns. We've looked at the weak, strong rhythm in Star Trek. And we've looked at the meaning change. And so here's the question is when you shouldn't do it. And so one of the cases people indicated is when you're split infinitive, if you pack too many adverbials in there, you get like four or five, it becomes one unwieldy and confusing because you can no longer attribute the verb back to its infinitive.
Well, and there's just the general rule of don't use adverbs when you can replace them with a strong verb.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes when you split it, it just becomes a little bit confusing. So we should try to, whenever possible, avoid splitting infinitives. Or we should try to avoid splitting infinitives whenever possible. So, again, which is actually the sentiment I kind of disagree with. I feel like splitting infinitive can often be powerful, right? I mean, most people have been taught or at least heard vaguely you shouldn't split them. And I've tried to show you examples where you should, you know, because as a writer, I want you to understand the rule and then feel empowered to break it for better writing. So while technically this isn't a rule in English, you can see why writers who lived under a time in English grammar thought it was a rule and then made careful, deliberate decisions to break it. And in so doing, you can see some of the great writing that they did in those moments.
Yeah, before we started this, I would have said that, yes, you should avoid it when you can. But now I'm very convinced.
You're convinced.
Of these awesome uses.
Yeah, this is sweet. Yeah, this is awesome. Cool. All right. So if you enjoy our show, as always, we would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to. Sign up for the email, and there'll be links to the videos of clips of Obama and from Last Man Standing, along with our other sources there, so you can check them out. I will be converting this into a blog post for quick reference, and we'll have a link there. So I'm going to try and make the blog a little more useful that way as a reference. And write if you have any comments or suggestions. Like if you want us to do a show on something, just write in, let us know.
Yeah, we want this to be a conversation as much as possible. So,
and it would help questions. Us. Like, we would have spend less time trying to think of ideas.
Yeah.
And if you want to support the show and help us keep doing this, buy one of our books and leave us a review. That is like, that is the number one thing we would love. That would mean so much to us.
Man, reviews are the best for an author.
They are, yeah.
It's so fun.
I know a large portion of the audience are to be authors. You're still working on your manuscripts, but I guarantee you reviews are gold. They are just magic. You love them, especially a good review. A good review makes my week.
Yeah, that's true.
So, okay. And that's the end of our episode. So it's time to start writing.